But I don't really have a question, but I think you know how proud we all are of what you and Crystal have done, and you've taken this just from an idea, and you've just run with it, and it's really amazing, and I've been watching you for quite a while do this, so I guess just put it out there, as you know, we're available. If there's anything we can do individually or as a council, just let us know, because for sure, this is an amazing program, and
I'd like to attach a youth to one of you as an assessor, because it'd be great to have youth understand what the municipality does and what councillors do, what the mayor does, because I don't think our youth are aware of what it is that you all do in the positions that you have, because they see you in other aspects of the community, not sitting here. So I know that the two youth that are at Kim's office have been shocked with what the MLA actually does. It's not a here's my photo opportunity. It's not anything like that. Yeah. So,
but I think there's so many other opportunities
definitely.
In the region as well. You and I have talked about.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many things. We talked about summer ambassador, you know, sort of shadowing that. So so I think there's so many things to do. But again, reach out and
for sure.
Whatever we can. So thank you again.
Yep.
Thank you, Troy. And I would ask that perhaps you convey your information to Norm Amiro.
Yeah.
Norm can be your contact initially, and from there, staff will determine who all is drawn into the effort. But it is a great program, and I think the region certainly participates.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate
it. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Troy. Yeah. So we will take a 5-minute break until 10:30, so we will recess until 10:30. So we're ready to resume. We are now starting at 4.0, tabling of petitions. I have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table? Second call for petitions. Third and final call. We have no petitions today. That brings us to 5.0, public question and comment session. Members of the gallery have up to 5 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address. There was a considerable amount of discussion, Leon, and at this point the final motion was that staff would be asked to look at programming a replacement pool in Milton, but not to spend dollars in this coming fiscal year.
Thank you. One other thing, you have here after this meeting is over, not that much, you have the budget meeting here today. Just one question with respect to the budget. Do you have a timeline as to when that will be presented to council?
Hopefully at the end of March meeting. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak today? Hearing none, I thank you. 6.0, approval of minutes. 6.1, regular council minutes, February 25th, 2020. Were there any errors or omissions in those minutes circulated? Hearing none, a motion to accept those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Frelick, seconded by Councillor Muse. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Is it unanimous? Thank you. We have nothing today under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises. Nothing today under 8.0, economic development. And nothing today under 9.0, corporate services. Under 10.0, engineering and works, we have 10.1, 2020, 4x4, 3/4-ton pickup truck. Jennifer Keating Hoopley, our Director of Finance.
By proxy.
Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councillor Fisk.
I so move that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality approve the purchase of a 2020 4x4 3/4-ton pickup truck from GW Mosier Motors at the price of $44,807 plus HST.
Seconder to that motion? Councillor Really? Jennifer, would you like to give us a quick update?
Of course.
So we, of course, we sent the specs out to the three majors, Dodge, Chev, and Ford, and then the Ford came in at the lowest price. So it's just a basic truck. It's not anything, no bells and whistles. I know, we were actually surprised. We were expecting to be more like a 42 or 40. But remember the bylaw truck that we just got was 42, right? So.
Any questions of council? Councilman Quad?
Jennifer, I may have missed this, but is it a replacement vehicle or is it a new addition?
It's a replacement. We try to get as many years as we can out of the trucks. 12 years is when we start to look at them. Some last a little bit longer than 12 years, and some don't last 12 years. So once we are finished with them, they're scrap.
Councilor Fancy?
It's too bad that we have South Shore Chev is here in Liverpool, but we don't can't spend our money locally, but I guess it's all contract. You can't be biased in any way or even offer things different like this.
We have to go with the lowest bid, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't believe they have a retail for new here, but I'm sure they could access them.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
They have new.
Do they?
Now.
Yeah. Good to know.
Any other council? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So when you say replacement, what will happen to the previous vehicle, the vehicle that it's replacing?
We'll get as much as we can for it as scrap metal.
Scrap metal. Now, we replaced a few vehicles in the past. I know it's not about this one, but do we still have vehicles that we replaced that we're still using?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other councilor? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 11.0 finance, we have 11.1 tax exemption bylaw, second reading. Who would like to take the lead? Deputy Mayor Cutter.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality gives final reading and approval to bylaw 14 respecting tax exemptions.
Second to that? I need a second. Councilor Moody. This is a replay of last council meeting. We've all understood the issue here. Any questions? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And under 11.2, we have write-off on collectible property taxes. We'll leave it on this one. Deputy Mayor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality gives approval to the Director of Finance to write off property taxes owing for assessment account number 4990587 AAN 4923502, AAN 2144956, AAN 6096573, AAN 4838092, AAN 6045715, AAN 1002-1375, and AAN 2310562.
And a seconder for that? Councilor Fisk? Jennifer, would you like to give a brief update?
So we have been successful in removing a number of account balances in our uncollected or outstanding property taxes and receivables. We've worked with land registry, mapping, and PVSC to clarify some of our issues and to deactivate a number of accounts. Normally, I don't bring balances forward for write-offs, but in this case, in these particular properties, there really is no alternative for us. We have been told by the solicitor that we cannot take them to tax sale, that there is no clear chain of title, that the property description or the land associated with these assessment account numbers does not exist and cannot be confirmed. So we spent a lot of time and effort working with RIM or Land Registry in trying to distinguish where these properties are, the boundaries for them, the descriptions for them. and we're being told that they don't exist or that they're overlapping with other properties. So just as a general, and not to go through each one in detail, some of these properties, the balances that are outstanding are associated with assessment values from previous years, so 10 years, 12 years, 15 years old. And the property values were, assessment values were $20,000, $30,000, $50,000. We have three of these properties that are currently valued at $100 on the roll. So that's the reason for this extreme outstanding balance, is that not being able to confirm where the properties existed and being overvalued through the PBSC assessment roll for so many years has accumulated this money, and of course no one has paid it, either because we can't confirm who owns it, the no clear chain of title, or the people that did own it originally were refusing to pay those balances because they didn't feel the property was valued. I mean, some of these properties are very small landlocked properties. If you believe the graphics you see on property online, that property exists, because again, land registry won't confirm for us that there is even an accurate description or any description for these properties. And some of these assessment account numbers have no PID associated with them, so therefore there's no land associated with it. All land is supposed to have a PID. One of the properties with a really large outstanding balance on it, we were in the process of working with land registry and trying to determine where it was, and it hadn't had a PID for 15, 20 years. When we started inquiring, all of a sudden a PID appeared, and they were associating a PID with it, but that PID has turned out to be a complete overlap of another property, one that is actually paying their balance on their account. So these are just problems. Now, and I'm not saying that this is an exhaustive list either. I anticipate as we work through some of these older properties and some of these older account balances, as we're working towards getting that uncollected taxes value down, there'll be more that may come forward, but the ones that I'm currently working on, I would like to have a little optimism and hope that I'm able to straighten them out with PBSC and Land Registry so that I don't have to bring them forward for write-up, or that I can clear them up for a tax sale, a chain of title that the solicitors will then approve for going forward to a tax sale.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
So would these tax accounts be wiped off our books, because they're currently a tax account and you're saying nothing's associated with them, so they will disappear, they won't continue then to accumulate?
So what I will do is work through, once we write off these outstanding balances, work with PBSC to completely devalue them. Unfortunately, unless I can get land registry to completely confirm that the property doesn't exist, I'm not able to have PBSC deactivate the account. So I'm still going to have to deal with all of these except two as being assessment account numbers and assessment values associated with them. But I will know not to include those assessment values in, for instance, my tax rate calculation, because I know that they're not going to be collectible until I can confirm. So I'm going to work with, and there's been a new committee set up. So NSFM had probably been listening to a number of directors of finance and the issues they've been having with the assessment role, and they have set up a committee. And this committee is going to work through members from PVSC and members through land registry and mapping. They're going to work through some of these discrepancies and some of the disconnect between land registry and PVSC. Yeah. So I've had a couple of meetings with them. They're very open to hearing what we're going through and the issues that we're having. And so I believe that they will be able to put some kind of a plan in place, or maybe even some additional sort of training and education for some of the mappers coming up through land registry, so that we will better be able to straighten out some of these issues, so that we don't reach this point where you have such an outstanding value because PBSC is not able to deactivate an account unless land registry can confirm that the property does not exist. So, and land registry is very hesitant about doing that.
Yeah. Well, some of these will continue to accumulate a
yes.
tax assessment to be written off again in the future.
They will.
Any other counselor? Councilor Johnson?
So at the end of the day, Jennifer, what actually happens? This land is just like no man's land?
I think what happens is old deeds and old conveyances of land, deeds aren't properly executed or registered, our subdivisions of properties aren't kind of appropriately surveyed and registered, and there ends up being an overlap. Like some of these older ones that are now valued at $100, there were so many multiple deeds in the background for so many tens of years in the past that property owners just kept moving boundaries, and some properties just kept changing title more than once, right, and overlapping. So a person would convey a piece of their land and a piece of the land and a piece of the land, and eventually there was no land left to sell or to convey in a deed, but they weren't fully aware of that because the deeds weren't properly registered to start with. So the land has actually been completely conveyed away, but yet there's still an account in that original name. The person probably is deceased, but there's still an account in that original name because the descriptions aren't clear enough to show that all the land had been conveyed away, and there it's kind of an imaginary piece of land that still exists.
Okay, because that one in Port Revere is a significant amount, but there's no idea what the footprint is.
Now that might there's a couple of them on here because the names that are a business, the business no longer exists. They've been struck from the registry of joint stocks, and so then those properties automatically revert to the Crown. We are obligated to notify the Crown that we have a balance outstanding, that we're looking at tax sale the property. So we've done that on a couple of these, and the Crown has told us that they're not interested in the property, not interested in owning the property, but yet our solicitor won't clear the property because they, according to the MGA, feel that that property has automatically conveyed to the Crown. So it's kind of a catch 22. The Crown doesn't acknowledge ownership of it. Those two or three properties, two for sure, that the company has dissolved and therefore the solicitor considers them to be in the name of the Crown, we are going to add those to our grant in lieu list this year. So we'll add it to our provincial grant in lieu of taxes list in the hopes that they will acknowledge it on the list, and then we will get our taxes through the grant in lieu instead. But there, I can't guarantee that because the Crown, when we notified them of the property, declined wanting any interest in it. So it, I know it's all, and there's one property here that is a substantial in size. So that's the one that had a PID associated with it a very long time ago and then didn't for a very long time. And then when we started inquiring, the PID number reappeared again. But that property, if you look at mapping, is completely absorbed in another PID somewhere else, so in another assessment account number. So there's duplicate PIDs, duplicate properties as well in this list of.
We have some kind of a trigger mechanism. Let's say, for instance, I go back to that person. If all of a sudden we write off that $12,000, is there a trigger mechanism that if a permit comes in through planning, that all of a sudden we can go back to say?
Absolutely. And do you recall in the fall when I bring the list forward for the write-offs for utility? Those are never really struck away from our balances in our accounts. So yes, if all of a sudden the person appeared, for instance, in the water utility and they wanted to put water utility account in their name because they purchased a property in the area, they would have to pay the outstanding balance that was in their name, no matter how many years ago it was. We don't remove it fully in order to get an account in their name in the future. We would do the same with this. And if we suddenly purchase and sale agreement appeared because somehow a solicitor was preparing a document where they were conveying a title, again, that would come up in our system, and we would collect this outstanding balance in a purchase and sale agreement based on the request for a tax certificate for that purchase and sale agreement. That balance would have to be cleared.
Council Cloud?
Jennifer, where it says here budget impact equates to approximately $43,850, but that's not coming on in this next budget. You had that in allowance for doubtful accounts last year.
Right.
So there's not much, probably there's no money back and forth.
No. So what we'll do is we'll decrease the balance of our accounts receivable,
okay,
which is great. But the offset of that will be another balance sheet entry. It won't hit our bottom line in our income statement. It will be reversed from our reserve for uncollected accounts, where it would have been included on the list and expensed in a previous year.
Okay. Yeah,
Counselor Fancy?
Yes, I got a couple of questions for you, Jennifer. The land, the TIR, the land that they own on Highway 8 by the new bridge, where they didn't, where they bought all the lands because of they were, where they had to move the bridge over, and it went into some of the, like the old canoe and camera club and all the other places where. Do we ask money and grants in lieu for that, those properties?
Any property in Queens County that is owned by TIR, Department of Natural Resources, Her Majesty the Crown, or Conservation, all appears on our list for grant in lieu, and we are given equivalent assessment values times our current rate in taxes on those properties.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, because I know that was something that they were going to give back to the region, but it hasn't happened, and I just wondered if grants in lieu weren't there, and anything that would make them speed things up.
No, they, if it's still in their name on the assessment roll, they are still paying a grant in lieu of taxes on it, yes.
My second question is, we have in Milton Memorial Hall, you've got three of them, so which is really is Milton Community Association. It all falls under anything that would fall under.
Yeah, I believe it has three account numbers because it's the hall and then the piece of land beside it and a piece of land behind it.
Yeah,
I think that's how it
works. Across the road by the.
Across the road. Yeah.
By the
I park. Know two is land and one is the hall.
Right. And I know the dog park had leased a piece of that land. So that still just falls under here. I mean, they're both in the.
The name
not,
of the Milton Community
profit.
Hall?
Yeah.
Not, yeah, they're both not for profit.
So that would still go back to the Milton Hall.
Yes, on my tax exemption list, it would be based on the owner named on the assessment roll. Yeah,
okay.
So if the owner is the Milton Community Hall, and it is
still
something,
deal.
We do exempt the Milton Community Hall in our bylaw.
Okay.
So yeah, as long as that land remains in their name, we would exempt them.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Councilor Fisk?
Jennifer, just going back to 11.1, I noticed through the list that the Greenfield Recreation Center is not on the list here.
Can I ask, if I may, we're on item.
I know.
That's not that item.
I know, but I'm going back. I'd
like not to go back, Councilor Fisk, because we're on this item.
Okay, thank you.
If we can keep on the item at hand.
Thank you.
I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions on this one? 11.2, tax write-off. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. I'll have a look at that for you, Amy, and let you know.
The next item is 12.0, Recreation and Community Facilities. I would ask Megan Roberts, Director of Recreation, if she would come forward. 12.1, Policy 87, Recreation for All. Who would like to take the lead? Councilor Fancy.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve Administrative Policy 87, Recreation for All.
Seconder, Councilor Kelly. Megan, would you like to give us an update on this one?
Sure. So this policy we've been working on for a bit. It was referenced in our physical activity strategy that it would be coming forward. And so I think the strategic purpose, which is in the policy, best states kind of what we look to accomplish with it. And it says to provide clear direction for the future development, improvement, maintenance, and support for all residents to be able to access recreational opportunities with limited barriers to participation or access. So basically that says that we're going to take a recreational lens when we're doing things. You know, sometimes there'll be reasons that we can't do them. For example, if we're doing a new road and the width isn't there to put in a bike lane or something like that, it will always be considered, but it might not be done. And if it isn't, it's for a reason. But what this policy is saying is that it will at least always be considered in the planning phase.
Any questions? Stephanie Mary Kelly?
Well, I know that we definitely have been talking about recreation for all. I mean, it was even under the previous CAO that we had a vision. Well, no, I guess that was the Vision 2020 from the current CAO that
mm-hmm.
talked about recreation for all.
Mm-hmm.
And it must be difficult because just in the whole term recreation for all and inclusion for all, it would be hard to put parameters around that. What concerns me about this policy is that it's vague and subjective for that very reason, because you want to be inclusive and you don't know what will come forward.
Mm-hmm.
But for that very reason, then, it's difficult to, you know, there's no budget around it, there's no value, there's no parameters on that basis, which is a bit worrisome, because do you have any idea what our exposure might be budget-wise to something like this?
So I think it would all depend on what it was and what was coming forward. So, I mean, I just gave the example of a road, for example. So if it was a bike lane, it would be that Brad, you know, and his department would cost out what that would cost. And I assume that would be part of what would come back. If it's something for us in terms of if we're offering some type of activity, or somebody's offering activity and we're using a place that's accessible. So it might cost more than a place that isn't accessible to offer the program, but we would choose to offer it there because it meets those inclusion and access and whatnot. So then, you know, it's really going to be on a case-by-case basis. And then in terms of, you know, large amounts of money, those things would then come back, obviously, to council.
But it doesn't even say that. Like, is everything going to come back to council when there's a monetary value? Like,
No. So, I mean, the bigger ticket items, obviously, would be part of, you know, budgeting things. But in terms of ours, like, for example, if we're building Milton Pool, like, not building Milton Pool,
yeah,
but replacing the pool, it would be things like considering all of the accessibility portions of that. And in terms of, you know, not turning away people to participate and go to the pool, you know, there's a dollar figure that would be associated with that. But, you know, we would provide that access based on the criteria that would come back as, you know, a support to this policy.
Right. So
yeah,
that's where it's not so much, I understand the
mm-hmm.
other parts, and looking
mm-hmm.
at inclusiveness when
yep.
building things
yep.
and creating things. But, for instance, the DIG program, where
mm-hmm.
you said there's a $50 and they would not, but I mean, if somebody came under this policy to say, I want to take the DIG program, would you pay my $50 for me? How many times would you pay $50 for how many people would you pay $50? Like,
well, I think there'd be the criteria. So what will come from this is then a supporting policy that's kind of like a sponsorship program, and there'd be criteria. And, you know, that's what will come back after this is once we know that this policy is put in place, then we'll come up with that criteria. Is that if, and I thought about the same thing when Troy was presenting, and there would be some type of criteria and application that they would have to, you know, prove that financial piece of it. And then there would be money that would then be provided, obviously, to
right,
participate.
Okay. So this overall policy is just the way the region looks at how we include everybody, but there will be supporting documentation or supporting policy to how you actually gauge that. And
right.
And in that, will there be a sort of monetary level that will decide what comes to council and what doesn't come to council, so that you can make those decisions more easily?
CAO?
I think there's some confusion.
Oh.
The policy relates to our facilities. So it applies to the two pools in Queen's Place. Doesn't apply to anything else. So if you want to apply to Duke of Edinburgh Award, we're not. This policy doesn't apply to that. Doesn't apply to any of those. It's the two pools in Queen's Place.
If it's our program.
Or if it's our
right.
program, that's outside
right.
that. Yeah. So.
Which the Duke is one of our programs, right?
Well, it's not. We sponsor it, but it's not our program, technically. It's a program that we sponsor. But it's not our program. Like, we don't run the program. We just provide some funding assistance.
Right.
As I talked about.
But there's no. What I'm thinking, you know, if 100 people came forward and wanted to join the gym because and they provided supporting documentation that they couldn't afford to have the to pay the monthly fees, but yet they wanted to join the gym. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. It's too much vagueness. Is that would be covered under this, right?
It would, but it's limited to money. So what the policy talks about is we will establish a fund. And the fund will find some people that are willing to support the fund, some investors, and then we would then accept applications based on the amount of money we have. And so if we raise $10,000 and people want to apply to go to the gym, they would fill out the form, meet the criteria, and we would use up to $10,000 or whatever the money is we have in the pot to supply that. After you get there, then there's no money left, and that would be the end of it for that year.
Well, forgive me then. I read through this policy and I didn't read anything about any and setting up any kind of fund. Just trying to find it.
8716 speaking to sponsorship, right?
I know they talked about sponsorship, but there's nothing relating to actual.
That's the purpose of the policy. That's the purpose of
allow sponsors of registration fees for those wishing to utilize or all parts of the facility, but that's being sponsored. But so are you telling me that there is absolutely no that part of it being able to include people, residents, including them to take part in recreation programs from the region, will have no budget implications whatsoever?
Unless council budgets, that's correct.
Right, so currently there is no budget for this, so there's no budget impacts.
That's correct.
And everything that is associated with Access for All for recreation, when it comes to our buildings and where we hold it, that will all come back to council for approval on a case-by-case basis.
I'm not sure what you mean by your building.
Well, like you said, if we're replacing Milton Pool and we're making it accessible, I mean, obviously that will come back to council and be built into whatever we look at those things.
Anything of a substantive nature and infrastructure nature absolutely would come back to council because they have budget implications. In this particular case, what's being recommended is we would establish a fund. We would go to try to find some investors that are willing to invest in that fund. And then it would be an application-based system. People would submit an application. There'd be a review process. That wouldn't go back to council. It would just be a review process. The person would be approved.
And what if there are no sponsors in the community willing to come forward to invest in this fund? Where would this fund money come from to create inclusion for all for recreation?
It would have to come from council, but we are optimistic. We know people who are willing to invest in this fund now. It's a matter of us getting the policy approved, getting the parameters approved, and going out approaching those people to be the investors.
So this is really an overall strategy of how we want to approach inclusiveness, inclusion for all for recreation. And that there'll be another supporting guideline is how we actually achieve that.
This is the overarching policy, correct? But the implementation is where essentially the rubber hits the road. And so we've got to, the council adopt endorses this. We've got to then go and find the investors that are willing to put the money on the table. We'll develop the application and criteria, and then we'll advertise it, promote it. We'll see how it works, and then we'll know if the money we receive is enough or if we've got to go and find more sponsors to contribute to the program. And then it becomes whether the council wants to submit or contribute money to it as well. But we don't anticipate that in this fiscal year, it would be in future fiscal years. So it's going to take us some time to get this up and running.
Right. So it will come back to council again with your supporting criteria and for this, to support this policy. It'll come back to council again so we can see exactly what your criteria are and what you're going to the sponsors. Public to the community for sponsorship?
I anticipate, yes.
Right, okay. Thank you.
I have Councilor Johnson.
I've got a couple of questions, Megan. And looking, and again, it goes back to somewhat of the vagueness and lack of definition, and I understand your crystal ball is no clearer than the rest of ours. But about a year ago, Michael Graves was here from the Oneida Way, and we brought that forward to the Queen's Place Board of Directors about an initiative that they put forward that didn't necessarily speak to always having to have sponsorship or money. And I think it ties in with what Deputy Mayor Kelly said, the fact that there are people out there, we heard just earlier today that $50 is a barrier to them. And if we had a partnership with whatever organization, let's say for instance social services, that people could access Queen's Place free of charge on down times, as long as we could set those parameters. I'm wondering if that was taken into consideration here, because the only place that I see that might fit is under 8714, but I'm not sure. And I guess the first question is, was it taken into consideration, and is it part of this document, or did we just poo-poo his suggestion as to how one way we can program to get more use for those who have financial barriers?
So our hope is that this policy addresses that. So with the sponsorship program, then it wouldn't just be on downtimes, or it wouldn't just be whenever, that people could access that facility at any time that they wanted to.
Only if they get sponsorship.
So if they meet the criteria under the sponsorship program, then yes.
So that doesn't answer my question. That comes back to, you're going to need some hard money. His suggestion was, and what they do at Luttenberg Lifestyle Center, from what I understand, is times that are dead times in those facilities, for whether it's the walking trail, whether it's the recreation, or I don't think it's the ice time included, was when we have the opportunity, we can offer that up free of charge to those people. That was the ask.
And we're offering free of charge 18 or 16 hours a day with no time restrictions.
Only if you come up with some money. Sponsorship money.
Yes, we know we'll come up with some sponsorship money. That won't be an issue. The issue will be getting people to sign up for it. It'll be a pride issue for people, I think. Irritation should be an issue for people who want to sign up for the program. We do have some people now that are interested, or I think we have some people that have expressed interest in Queen's Place. We do now provide free access to the two pools. Without this policy in place, if someone comes and cannot afford, we do provide free access now, so that's not going to change. And so at the end of the day, is council interested in providing that access? And so if for some reason we can't find the money, is council willing to put some money in the budget to support that? I think we are. I would hope we are. But I'm optimistic we have enough investors or people out there who have expressed an interest in supporting this that we won't need any council money. We may need for some certain times or certain issues, but I'm optimistic we'll be able to find enough private investors to look at this program.
Okay. So, because that speaks to the word partnerships, and I'm just wondering, like, with those organizations, where those partnerships fit, things like that. That's my question. As long as that has been addressed for those people who absolutely can't afford 5 cents, that want to have access to this, because I didn't read that in that, other than if they didn't have sponsorship money, because it has to be at no cost to us. But using dead time to me is no cost to us. So anyway, that's my question. You've answered it as to your interpretation of the policy, and if that's the way it's going to be administered, so be it. My next question is a bigger and deeper question, is where does this fit with the physical activity strategy? I know that part of that was to implement. 90% of this is implemented through the accessibility committee, which has a whole lot of the budget pieces. And where does this fit into an overall recreation strategy, or do we have a complete recreation strategy? Because at the last council meeting, when we passed the physical activity strategy, it was answered that was only a piece of the MPAL requirement for us to have a strategy. So how many strategies are we working with, and where do all these bits and pieces fit? And I don't know if that's necessarily a question for you. Maybe it's through to the CAO. So.
CAO, would you like to respond to that?
As far as how it all fits, I mean, I think Megan probably answer it better, but they're all pieces of the puzzle. So we have various recreation policies, including the community investment fund, which is one piece. You have the physical activity strategy, which is another piece. You have this policy, which provides access for people to make sure those that can't necessarily afford to, or access for other reasons, have fair access to recreation opportunities. So they're all different tools in the toolbox, I'd say. Where this one actually fits in with the physical activity strategy, I mean, Megan's probably more in tune to comment on that one. But they're all pieces. It's not one strategy or one document. It's no different than for our public works department. We have certain things or operational policy or rules we follow. We have the infrastructure stuff. We have all the provincial and federal regulations and things we have to follow. This is just another tool in the toolbox, another piece of the puzzle to provide an opportunity for more people to access recreation. In this particular case, it's focused on three facilities we own, because we have control over that. We don't have control over what other people own or what their fees are, what the charges are, and when they're open and when they're not open, safety and things like that. These three particular facilities we own and regulate. And so providing access for those 16 hours or 18 hours, or if it's a pool, 10 or 12 hours a day, regardless of certain times of the day, we think is what's fair. So
But there's no, to answer, There is no overarching strategy that combines, brings us all together. It's pick this bow with the umbrella or pick this piece of the umbrella.
No, we don't do that for any part of our operation, no. Every part of our operation has multiple facets and multiple pieces to it.
Councilor Bill?
Just a bit confused on, you know, accessibility, clearly, you know, love that and everything we've done. I'm just wondering, this is just for our recreational facilities. So you said Queen's Place and what, the other buildings?
This policy would apply to all region places. It's just that the sponsorship part of it would be for our
right.
operations in those three facilities.
Yes, I understand that
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
So we're forming an accessibility committee. We're hiring someone. Is this all going to be covered by them again when they're on board? Or are we putting the horse before the cart a little bit? Or I'm
for
just
the accessibility
kind of,
piece of it, you mean?
Yeah. Because, you know, that's their, I'm assuming that's their job when they get here, is to go over all of that and to connect all the pieces with all of our municipally owned.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as I love it, I was surprised to see it here so soon because I thought that's what we were bringing this person on. Or maybe I'm just totally confused with how it works.
If I may, Mr. Chairman. I guess I first see the person we hire in the accessibility committee providing the implementation parts of this.
Right.
So if we talk about roadways for bike lanes, they will talk about here's what the standards are and here's where bike lanes are most appropriate and here's where they're not most appropriate. So this just says, where it's possible, we'll consider bike lanes. Doesn't
right.
get into details where the accessibility committee will. When we get into built infrastructure as far as buildings,
mm-hmm.
this just says we're going to do our best to make all of our recreation facilities accessible. This committee and this staff person will tell us what we need to do to meet those standards to make it accessible. There's one thing, that's the building code, but there's a big difference between the building code and what would be fair and equitable for people
yeah.
to make it accessible for all, as opposed to that far exceeds what the building code would suggest is there. And so this just goes past that. And this talks a little bit about the sponsorship program as well,
mm-hmm.
which they will, that I expect the accessibility committee is going to encourage us and tell us the types of things we need to do to encourage more people to participate in activities or recreational opportunities. This just provides the opportunity once they can do some promotion, we do some advertising, we find out who's out there and who's missing that need or that should have access and doesn't have access, whether it's communication or transportation or financial resources. This will then allow them to then take part, so the policy will be in place. So I see that committee and that staff person really being the implementation of this policy, and there will be some other policies come forward that they will then implement those types of things. They'll come up with some other policies as well, but their policies will be more specifically technical related, I would suggest.
I guess this is where I'm getting confused, because I thought when we passed the motion to hire that person, they were going to go out and identify all the areas that need to be improved and then adhere to what the province is putting into place.
Correct.
So, but you're saying that that actual person will come up with ideas how to get more people. That's not the purpose of that job, is it?
No, so there's the provincial legislation outlines six parameters.
Yes.
One is on transportation. So they'll have a discussion with the advisory committee over what are the barriers to transportation,
right.
how do we get more people to access all services, not just government services, but all services. Another part of that is communication. So part of it's built infrastructure, some of it's transportation. Some of it's financial. Another component of the six is communication, information. And so that person will then provide advice to us and receive stuff from the accessibility committee over the types of things we need to do better to better communicate with people, to provide information about the program that might be available, provide information about what facilities are accessible,
right.
provide information for on our website, but when meetings are, those types of information. So there's six parameters in communication. It's one of those parameters.
So everything that we're reading here at this point doesn't apply to everything else under the region of Queens. So for example, the Works Department, they don't have to worry about the new sidewalks if they meet the standards at this point. correct? Because you're just talking recreation under this.
Correct.
This is not the language we use throughout the region.
Correct. This
okay.
is simply for recreation because there's a special need in that area. We have to say
right.
it that way.
And I guess that's what I'm saying about the horse before the cart. Because if we're not doing it across the board, and we're only doing it in one section, one department, then I guess I have a small problem with that, that we're not doing across the board, because it's all wonderful language and things we should have been doing years ago. So I commend us for getting there on this, but it feels like the rest of the process is going to take much longer for the entire region, because, you know, we have to hire someone, we have to get the board together, we have to. So are we looking a year out before we start using this language throughout the rest of the region?
This, I mean, this is something we can implement now if council wishes.
Right.
The difficulty is the accessibility committee. I mean, the first year to develop a plan.
Yeah.
Then they're going to have to work on other stuff. So before
Absolutely.
We get to things like sidewalks,
yeah.
we're multiple years out. And so the issue is you can put this off and do it all at once, but then you're going to, it's going to, those people aren't going to have access for a couple of years.
No,
so that's why we're doing this now, because we think there's an opportunity to do it now.
I don't think we should put it off. I think that we should look at including this same language in other things that we do. So if we're building new sidewalks on Jubilee Street this year, then we have a policy that says we have to do something about it. We have to acknowledge that there may be different things that we can do better. So if we only do this for recreation, then, you know, 2 years from now, then the rest of the regions will have to. You follow what I'm saying? Like, it just feels like.
I think I'm following you, Councillor Frelick, and it is included in this policy. And if you refer to 87.6, it details future sidewalk construction.
Yeah, but this is only recreation.
No, that doesn't state that. 87.6 doesn't state only recreation when you're rebuilding or creating sidewalks. It
We were told just when we started this, only this policy was for recreational. Such as Queen's Place.
The implication is that under 87.6 is that infrastructure like sidewalks is more than just about sidewalks. It's about use for recreation purposes, and that's why it's on there. The same as bike lanes are just widening the road or making a delineated line. It's not typically used for bikes, it's typically for roadway,
mm-hmm.
and we're suggesting that we need to think differently and that the roadway isn't just about roads and cars anymore. It has to be about other recreational purposes like biking. We're moving incrementally that way. That's why it's on there. And this policy will, a lot of these things, I would suggest probably when we get to other parts of our operation, will be similar. But to wait and do one full plan for the whole community will be several years away. So we didn't want to wait. We think there's an opportunity now to get more people into Queen's Place, more people into pools.
Absolutely agree.
And to get ahead and not to start continue to build sidewalks, or if we're going to do infrastructure and rebuild roads, not to wait a couple more years and then miss out on that opportunity if that opportunity is going to be there.
Right. But I guess the problem that I have is that when the Works Department, you know, if they don't build it to accommodate accessibility, they can go back and say this policy was for recreation that doesn't involve us. Because, you know, there's always loopholes, and we're great at finding them. So I'm concerned. That's it. That we're not using the same language throughout. So if Works Department is aware of all this and is on board and have signed off on it, then we shouldn't have a problem. So.
They are aware.
Okay, good. Shouldn't have a problem. Thank you.
Councilor Clyde?
I like the policy. I think you've touched on pretty much every aspect of it. And, you know, if we start using a policy and referring to it when we do any additional, you know, when there's funding of opportunities or when there's a need in the community, refer back to this policy. And if there's something that we haven't thought of, there's always a way to add or amend it. It's not written in stone like everything else. It's not written in stone. Getting back to Councillor Johnson's concern about the United Way. Correct me if I'm wrong, but is the United Way a combination of other agencies in Lunenburg and Queens County that have an involvement in that in order to provide the services that they offer? Could we become part of the United Way through this program? No. Okay.
I think when Mr. Gray was here and he talked about it, it was just Lunenburg they get money from other organizations.
Okay.
And then they get free passes. So like when we talk with the LCLC, he gets one pass and gives it to somebody who needs it. We're talking about a whole membership.
Yes.
We're talking about a 10-funded pass for the walking track or whatever it is,
okay.
or 20.
Through
talking
his policy.
About, we're talking about full membership or full opportunity to take swimming lessons to teach
okay.
our people how to swim. Whereas they're giving up one pass or one trip for the most part. We're talking a much more advanced program than what they're doing. But theirs is all funded from somewhere else too. I mean, they're getting money for getting it somewhere. I mean, we used to give out passes, I think, to the doctors.
Yes,
who,
Doctors Nova Scotia.
Well, we have the local
Fitbrook.
Doctors here to use
oh,
their
yeah.
office. So they had a patient or somebody who could benefit from physical activity. But I think most of the passes came back to never use them.
Right.
Or if they give them to people, the people didn't use them at all.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might have given them to somebody else that wanted to use it. So it wasn't successful. We've got to find a different way to get at people. So this is a more advanced program than what you would see with what the United
Similarities, but a more advanced.
And I think when Mr. Graves was here, it was a Lunenburg County program, and we weren't eligible to join on. So we talked about whether it could be a Lunenburg Queens or a,
okay.
but they weren't interested, I think, in the discussion.
All right. But I like the policy. Well written.
Councilor Fancy?
Yes, the one thing in particular, like you're forward thinking of like with the bike trails and things, and because we got to be looking at more of the activity going forward in the future, what people want need to do, and to be able to make it more accessible. That's all good. I guess furthering this with the United Way, I guess the United Way could now then in turn ask for passes through this program if they were to be sponsored, right?
No.
They can't?
People apply, not
mm-hmm.
organizations.
Okay. Well, that's because, see, the one thing that United Way does that we don't do is that they make everybody accountable. They know what the passes are given out. Do the people use it? Do they not use it? Do they give it off to someone else? And things like that, which is something I'd like to see us be associated through to be able to, because they do get applications from people in Liverpool, which would then in turn, like we're going to say if somebody comes and says, okay, we got a great program, this I will say this is good, but I think this could work with it. That's what I'm saying. If they were to be able to say, hey, look, we need, I have three people from Liverpool who want, or who were looking for passes, and that we could be able to say, okay, could we be able to get someone to sponsor those things that they could give out, and then it shows what the accountability to. That's one of the things that never, even when we used to give them out to doctors, people sometimes give them out to friends or something else and never use them, so anyway, that program ended up dying because it just, either the doctors didn't give them out or they didn't use them properly. So I'm concerned that in this kind of way too, either people using it or getting it, hey, look, I'd like to get a pass for there. Could you get something? And they end up, if you don't have it accountable, a lot of times those things don't work. And I'd still like to be able to work with United Way, because they are trying. And when someone's trying, I'd like to be able to incorporate them, not take over. We got a great program, but we incorporate them to be able to use. They can make applications, not just as individuals, but as a group.
So if there's a person in Milton, for instance, your district,
right.
wants to use Queen's Place, they go to Queen's Place, fill the form, and they get approved.
Right.
What you're suggesting is they go to Bridgewater to see Michael Graves. He then advocates on their behalf. He goes to Queen's Place, fills out a form.
Right.
We then give him the pass. He then goes back to the person who asks him back to Bridgewater to get the pass, and he has to come back and use the facility. Doesn't make more sense to just go one place, make one trip, fill out one little form, and they're done?
It does, but... I mean, when you talk it that way, it sounds good, but that isn't the way it always works. It's because United Way is a known organization, and they already have built up their relationships with others and such as that. There's going to be some people who are going to come that have needs. All we're doing is giving a passes. We're not looking at needs. We're not looking at anything else except for we want to try to be able to get these people access to them.
Well, at this point, Councillor Fancy, if I can ask Megan. Megan, is part of the process to prove financial need for a free pass?
Yes, and that will be part of what we develop, but we anticipate that will be one aspect of it, correct? Yep.
Right.
So you are accountable before the pass is out?
Correct. Correct. They're accountable. There'll be approval process, and then we will issue, if it's Queen's Place, for example, they'll come in, they'll fill out the associated forms, and we'll set up their membership for them. Yep.
Councilor Fancy, continue.
Yeah. That's the first part of getting the tickets. That's what the same thing as what the doctors did. If somebody needed, had a health issue or something, they would give out a ticket. But a lot of times they didn't use them, they give them to someone else. So United Way has got a program, and I don't know why we don't want to link with that. I mean, they still say, yes, if somebody wants to come and do it, and we do these things, which I think you're doing, I think you're setting up something that's really good. But I think we could link still with United Way. They could call and say, hey, look, I've got two people. Not saying that he should go to United Way, but if United Way called and said, look, I've got two people here that need passes that we could be able to, that they could fill out things for these people to try to help them. I mean, we're not saying go to United Way, but if United Way's got them, why wouldn't we use them? That's what I'm saying.
And right. They can certainly direct people to this program. So it's no different. We partner with KidSport and Jumpstart for those are right. specific youth programs, but Dana provides support to anybody who right. Applies under those. So it's not our program, obviously, but we provide right. support to help them access those. And I foresee, you know, the United Way could
right.
be someone that could direct people to this program. So we wanted to administer it in our own community because I feel like we can be advocates for people in our own community, and we know our own community, so it'd be no different than, you know, a counselor knowing someone
right.
in their community that had a financial barrier and wanted to participate.
That's
they
right.
would for they would send them to this program. So I feel like the United Way, you know, could be a partner,
right.
but in terms of telling people that this program exists and sending them to us to administer it.
I think we're still missing accountability on the other end, but I'm fine. I just mentioned.
And there is significant accountability. So
right.
if they get a membership at, say, the gym, they're
right.
just white card. So we can track how many times they're using it or not.
Right.
So if they apply and they get a free 3-month membership and they
right.
use it once, then when they apply again, then the review process would be you didn't use it before. What's going to change? Are you going to use
right.
it now? And so then you would do that. Same for the pool. There's a registration. Keep track
right.
of who's there for all classes for a pool. If they're using a walking pass, the same thing. They have to sign in. So. It's easy to track who's using it, who isn't using
right.
it. So there's significant accountability there over
right.
if we're providing stuff for free, that people are actually going to make use of it. If they don't, then when they come back and apply again, they would be turned down.
Yeah. So we can just tell somebody like Michael right now, just if they have someone to send them your way to ask to make their application.
Once we have that part of the policy in place.
That's right.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah, correct.
Mayor Kelly?
Yes, I just have a comment to make because obviously we can see from the questions today that, you know, residents may have a difficult time understanding just what this covers. And as you said, explained this morning, is it about people coming forward to access recreation who may not be able to, or cost was a barrier.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd hate to see anybody come forward and find out that, you know, they're not actually. No, we say we don't say no to anybody that wants to come to a program. So I think that the communication piece is going to be really, really key in this, and it will help when the supporting documentation comes forward. But just wanted to say, like, the communication piece needs to be a critical consideration in how people understand how to use this, because we want to try to use it, and I don't want anybody to figure out that came forward and got it wrong or something like that. Do you know what I mean? So
I agree.
Just wanted to make that comment. But I, you know, I'm glad that we're coming forward for this, and it shows, you know, how we're being progressive in helping everybody in the community. We've had a lot of policies like that lately, and I appreciate that. And what the Recreation Department has done to bring all this together. So yeah, just get the communication correct. That would be great. Thank you.
Councilor Johnson?
Just one last question, just not to relate this too much, but when you mentioned about that part of the policy being in place, what does that look like? Does that mean writing another policy to deal with the free access? Or is that something that can be implemented? Is it something that comes back through us at the Queen's Place Board? What does that process look like with a timeline?
CAO, I mean, you can correct me, obviously I'm wrong, but I anticipate that will come back as a policy with, and then we'll have an application form that's subsequent to that.
Yeah, I guess I don't necessarily see it as a policy, but it would be a document that gets back to council that says, here's who we're willing to accept money from, and here's the parameters around what they, who will accept money from, and the parameters around using the money, and the parameters around how people can promote that they're a sponsor of this program. There's some legalities and things we need to do, and then it'll just be an application form.
Yep.
The difficult part will be for Megan and her staff to determine what that level is of income. And so if you're a single mother, is there a certain level? If you're a single mother with two children, if you're a married couple with no children, is there a level? Is there a married?
Can there be a recommendation from whether it's the docs or whether it was social services or something like that? You know, I know we can't rewrite the policy here today, but at the end of the day, to implement this, and again, it goes back to the interpretation of the clauses. What kind of time frame are we going to have? Are we going to get that on our action list, or?
It'll be probably, you're probably looking at 2 months. It's probably the time frame, because it's going to take a while to figure out the form and the criteria. It's going to take some time to come up with all the criteria around who's eligible, who isn't eligible. I know there's some anxiety on council. We don't want to take money from certain types of organizations and stuff, so we've got to figure what's eligible, what isn't eligible. And then we've got to go out, I'd like to be able to go out when we come back and say 2 months' time and say we've got a certain number of investors, so we've got a certain amount of money raised, and so we're ready to launch the program because we have a certain amount of money to offer it up. I don't want to come back with a form and all that stuff and not have any money in my pocket and say we're going to now take applications, but we can't approve it, we don't have any money. So I want to do all those things. It's going to take us a couple of months to do that.
So we're looking at a process versus a policy.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah,
okay. It will be more, here's who's eligible, here's the criteria around
procedure, yeah.
So can that process be put on our timeline of the next thing that's on the council implementation report? Because this is where things get lost. You know, things get lost because it doesn't get documented. We don't have a clear action as the timelines other than what is approved as a motion. And like I said, we don't live it every day. You guys live it every day, and you're aware of it. But all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, 2 months later, I don't know how many brain cells are killing between the times, but at the end of the day, we lose sight of these things. And this is something that's important that we shouldn't lose sight of.
We're not going to lose sight of it, but what we will do in the action report is put that if council approves it, we've approved the policy, and then we'll put a note there that the next part is to, because we only put in the implementation chart motions of council, so we'll put in there the motion of council was to approve the policy, and that we will follow up and bring back within the next couple of months the process and the other stuff.
Cool.
Any other councilor, comment, question? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Mom. Under 13.0 planning, we have nothing today. Under 14.0 reports, we have 14.1 council implementation report that was circulated with the agenda. Are there any comments or questions on that implementation report today? Okay. Everyone satisfied with that? So that brings us to 15.0 in camera, and I will mention that after the in camera session, we will have a short budget meeting and it will pertain to capital issues. A motion to go in camera would be appropriate. Moved by Councilor Fisk, seconded by Deputy Mayor Kelly. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. We are now in camera. We'll take a 5-minute recess.